Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Gimel, 113, as we continue in Perek Elu Ksharim. And today we get into, besides the Kshira issues, which this Perek is mainly about, as we have discussed over the past 2 days, all the issues where Kshira comes up. But today we get into some other Inyanim, and we'll have to talk about how and why they come up. There's one Ha'ara. Yesterday we ended off by having one of the Gemaras relating to Niskatnu Hadoros. Right, that is one of the Gemaras right here, Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Beis Maveis, where Rabbi Zeira says in the name of Rava Bar Zimuna, if the Rishonim were like B'nai Malachim, then we're like Anashim. And if the Rishonim were like B'nai Anashim, we're like Chamorim. Not even like super duper Chamorim, just like an average Chamor. Not a Chamor that makes sure that it doesn't eat untithed produce and untithed animal fodder. Either way, this is one of the Gemaras, and there are a couple of Gemaras throughout Shas that talk about this concept. Some Rishonim reject the concept totally. Some Rishonim, if you look in the Rambam really never seems to discuss Niskatnu Hadoros, even in a halachic sense. It's fascinating that the Rambam, in a couple of places where the Shulchan Aruch says, well, Bizman Hazeh, you know, you can't expect more of us, the Rambam never says such halachas. So for example, with the Shulchan Aruch, and the Bali Tosfos, really, Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Bali Tosfos, after a couple of days of a trip, the shulchan and the halacha is, maker, then you can't daven yet, because your mind is still not at ease, you have a couple of days, you got to make sure that you're calm, cool, and collected in order to daven. So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, we never have kavana anyway, so might as well daven right away. But the Rambam doesn't say that, the Rambam says you got to wait to daven, right? Or the halacha about not having kavana in avos. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, well, we don't have kavana anyway, so b'diavet, we're not going to have kavana the next time if we repeat it. All these halachas, the chasson on the first night of Kriyashma, Bali Tosfos and Brachas, say, well, Bizman Hazeh is just the opposite, right? What, every night he has kavana, and just the night of the wedding he doesn't have kavana? So we say it. So all of these halachas, Bali Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch, are realists, and they realize what stage we're at, but the Rambam never quotes any of these halachas. The Rambam is an idealist, suggesting that he doesn't believe in this idea so much in a halachic sense of Niskatnu Hadoros. There are other Rishonim that discuss it. It's a topic of a separate shir. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has the following Ha'ara in Parshas Baha'aloscha. The Gemara discusses in Maseches Temura on Daf Tezayin that when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die, he says to Yeshua ben Nun, ask me anything you want. Whatever, any questions, any sfeikas that you have, you know, ask me now. Ask me now. And Yeshua says, you wrote about me in the Torah that I never left you. So what kind of questions could I have? Right, lo kasafta li, it's a great line. Lo kach kasafta bi, umisharso Yoshua binu nar lo yamish bitocha oel. You wrote in the Torah that I never left. Right, I stayed at the bottom of the mountain. Immediately, Yoshua binun lost his strength, and Moshe died, and he forgot 300 halachas, and he has 700 sveikas, and all Klai Yisrael were about to kill him. And Hashem says, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, whatever. So he says, okay, get their mind off it. Take him out to war. Tardam bibulchama. Ask him, Yaakov Kamenetsky, what Yeshua do wrong? It sounds like, oh, how could he not? But it's true. He was always with Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is the Gemara faulting him? What did he do wrong? So Amnam Nira says, Rabbi Yaakov, Sha'av sheYeshua lamad as kol ha-Torah mipi Moshe, mikomakom klal echad bahalecha lo lamad mimenu. He learned everything from Moshe except for one principle that he needed to learn. And maybe, just adding this in, it wasn't even his fault. But just by definition, he needed to learn it. And this is the way he had to learn it. V'hainu, what klal? Ha'klal shem masru lono chazal Shabbos kuf yud beis. Our klal. Im rishonim b'nei malachim anu b'nei anashim v'chulu. Meaning, the principle of every generation away from the source of the Mesorah is on a different level. The generation of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai is a different level than Mesorah LeYoshua, and a different level than Yeshua LeZakenim, and a different level than Zakenim LeNeviim. Every level he needed the message of the Chasimas HaTkufos. Mikan Shekanai Moshe Melamdo HaKlal HaGadol Shal Chasimas HaTkufos. V'yachshav Kshigi Hazmano Shel Moshe Lipato LeGan Eden, Nigmura Tkufas Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, U'matchila Tkufas V'natana LeYoshua. U'kedei LaHamchish Ulahadgishlo, to crystallize this idea for Yeshua, Nishtachu Menesh Losh Meos Halachas. It wasn't a punishment. It was just something that needed to be, the message needed to be given over to Yeshua ben Nun. But Yisrael didn't understand it. That's why the Gemara says they wanted to kill him in the next line. But they had to also realize, they didn't realize, what? We're on a different level? We thought we were going to be in this level forever and ever. And that's the klal, haklal hazeh, ein zeh melitza ba'alma. It's not just about angels and people and donkeys. It's not just a melitza. Ela kol yisodos, psikas ha'alacha, nivnim alav. But this is the basis of all of Shas. Right, and he says, like the Pshuta Shalah Gemara, whatever the Gemara says, how could an Amora say this? Did an Atana say otherwise? How could he argue with the Mishnah? That's the Pashas, we discussed this many times in the past. The Chasimas HaMishnah was a halachic stage, and the Amorim were not allowed to argue on the Mishnayis, on the Tanaim, unless they had a different Tana that they held like in a Brisa, in a Tosefta. But this is the message of Imanu Kibnei Arishonim. Says Reb Yaakov, those last few lines from yesterday, that's a major halachic principle, not just a hashkafic idea. It's a major halachic principle, and that's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Ubedekudazu tal Yoshua. So he says it as he made a mistake. Ki hu sabar, mikivan shehu lo mash me'al lo shel Moshe, v'lamar mimenu kol ha-Torah, im kein shuvein chilik bein olavein Moshe. V'lachin chashav shein lo shuv ma'al l'shmo mi Moshe. I'm finished. But he had to be taught that no nishtachim manner. Right? But if you think about it, it wasn't his fault because he never experienced it. He was just in that generation. So that is the principle. And we discussed in the past the Gemara, the Chasimas HaTalmud was a stage. The Gemara B'Metzia has the line Ravina and Ravashi Sof Hora'a, which is quoted in the Rama in Choshen Mishpat, where it talks about you're not allowed to argue on anything before in the Gemara, and the. Well, the Gra explains the Ramah based on that. The Ramah says you're not allowed to argue on anything that's Mefurish in the Gemara, and the Vilna Gaon quotes that Gemara B'Metzia, Ravina V'Ravashi Sofa Ra. And what about the Gaonim? That's a Machlokas Rishonim. Whether the end of the Gaonic period is also a significant stage. The Rush in Masechah Sanhedrin quotes all the different opinions, whether your Arisha is allowed to argue on a Gaon. We don't know, we don't have so much material about what the Gaonim said in the normal run-of-the-mill Svar. But that is an important Rabbi Yaakov. That Rabbi Yaakov brings this Gemara alive. Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, V'nodos Yayin V'shemen. So we're still talking about the Malacha of Kshira, Eluk Sharim, and this parak that started 2 days ago. Bottle the jugs of wine and oil. Also, the Mishnah says you're allowed to tie. So the Pshita, that's obvious also. It's a knot that's undone very often. So of course you're allowed to tie it. Lotzricha de islay tarti une. It's a case where there are two openings. Two openings, and you could get out the oil or the wine just by opening one of them. Same thing that we had yesterday. Mao de tema chadaminaya bitule mevatale. You might think that one of them they're mevatel, kamash, he might be mevatel, kamash malon. Again, what's the kamash malon? So this is where the Ritva says, what he said yesterday. Kamash malon, that right now you don't know which one is going to be opened, so each one is labeled as an asui lahatir. You're not allowed to label each one as Eino Asui Lahatir. That's not true. One of them is going to be opened, so each one has the Kula, and that's why you don't have to worry that one of them, even if one of them will ultimately be Mevutal there, which at the time then will be a problem, but right now we don't have to be worried about it. Good. Kedera Shel Basar, a covering of a pot. Pshita. Also, it says undone every day. Lotzricha de Isla Shalacha. The difference is, what if it has a spout that you don't even have to take the cover off in order to remove the contents of what's inside? So, ma'od ha'tema bitulei mevatel, or kamash malon, same idea. You might think that it's a mevatel there, kamash malon. Why do you need this if you have the previous case? So, based on that ritva, maybe the chiddush is that here, you don't have to open either of them. If you want to say the previous case is that you'll open one and you'll leave one, but here you might open neither. So you might say that's even more of a chash. Kamash Malan, we don't have to be worried about that. Good. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Koshra v'chulu, Pshita. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov ended off by saying, you're allowed to tie in front of an animal. Let's say there's an opening of a fence. I'm going to tie a rope at the front of the fence. The animal goes out. That is mutter. So why? What's the obvious also? Because I tie and untie that every day. Pshita. So lotricha de isla tarti isri. What if I made two ropes? One above and one below. Rashi has two different pshatim. This is one of the pshatim. One rope above and one rope below. So, ma'o detema chadi mina bituli mavtil. Again, I might think that one of them are going to be mavatel. I'm only going to, let's say, either take off the upper rope and then make the animal jump over the bottom rope or vice versa. Either way, I might come to be mavatel one. Kamash malon. In all these cases, I don't have to be worried. Just remember, in Yanni Kshira, We had a one or two points of kshira earlier in the Masechta. Most of the Masechta we haven't had kshira. This area of the Masechta is very organized. You have all of kosher and all of this and all of that. But we had one Tosfos earlier, I think back in the fourth parak, where Tosfos discussed it could be that I'm not allowed to do any action that usually involves kshira at the end of it. Gzeira Shema Yikshar. We spoke to us and spoke about a case which seems to be like our case of putting the string, if somebody has a sweatshirt. Sometimes they have a string in the sweatshirt which they pull, and sometimes if the string gets out, so we have to put the string back in. But many times somebody knots the edge of the string after they put it through so it doesn't go back in. So there is a discussion, maybe one cannot put the string back in, or sweatpants, whatever it might be, because gzeira shema yikshar, one might come to be kosher in it. It relates to what we discussed yesterday, and that is blowing up a balloon. Blowing up a balloon. So maybe after we blow up a balloon, usually, you know, we tie it, unless it's a child who just blows it up and watches it fly all over, and then doesn't do it. So, I mean, that would be a gzeira. One has to, it wasn't a specific gzeira in the times of blowing up balloons, but one has to use their head in terms of if they happen to always blow up balloons and come to tie it, then one has to be very, very careful about that. Good. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha Kriv Eliezer ben Yaakov. The halacha is like Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that you're allowed to tie in front of the animal. Amar Le Abaya Halacha Mechal De Pligi. Is that Mashmuel? The Rabbanan argue on that? I didn't know they argued. So Amar Le Maynafka Lechamina. He said, what difference does it make? The halacha about Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why do you care if the Rabbanan argue? Amar Le, so he answers, something that we've had already in this Masechta. Gemara, Gemara, Zemarta Tehei. What, is the Gemara just a song? Or is that a song? I want to know. I mean, it's not something that I care about the maskan. I don't take so seriously. It's like a song. I want to know every single detail. I want to know. Is this a machlokas? I want to know. Oh, what we paskin. I want to know every detail of the Gemara, and therefore one has to. That's why he was asking whether it's a machlokas or everyone agrees. Good. Next Mishnah. Last Mishnah related to kosher. Masnisan kosherin dli b'psikya avalo b'chevel. Somebody wants to get water from the well. So, very halacha lemaisa, bismana Talmud. They need to get water down. So, they're lowering the pail and the rope ripped. So, how do I get the pail down? So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take something temporary and tie it up to the rope, with the ability to be able to lower it down and get the water. So, koshrin deliba psikya, you're allowed to tie a pail with a psikya, with a type of woman's clothing, with a girdle, of a low bechevel, but you can't use a rope. Can't use a rope. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can use a rope. What's the machlokas about? We'll have to see in the Gemara. Klalam Rabbi Yehuda, kol kesher she'enu shel kayama, ein chayav an alav. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's not a kesher kayama, you're not chayav. Okay, we agree to that. But the question is, what is the machlokas about? So, chevel demai. What chevel are we talking about that the Tanakhama says, asur, and Rabbi Yehuda says, mutter. I lema chevel da alma. Are we talking about a regular chevel, that your regular rope that you're using? Rabbi Yehuda matir, kesher kayamahu. If it's a regular chevel, and you're probably going to leave it there even after Shabbos, so how does Rabbi Yehuda matir? We can't be talking about a regular chevel and on the world of Daraisa. Ela chevel da gardi. You must be talking about a weaver's rope. Weaver's rope. And in that way, the issue is a derabbanan. You're obviously not going to leave this there forever. The question is, are we gozer allowing you to put a weaver's rope onto the others? So the Gemara said, lameimra. So what is this teaching me? Derabbanan savri gazrinan, chevel degardi ato chevel da'alma. Derabbanan are gozer, a weaver's rope onto a regular rope that you might use. Rabbi Yehuda savri lo gazrinan. Right, machlokas, whether we have such a gzeira. So is that true? But we find just the opposite direction. V'raminu, chevel dli shenifsak. We have a chevel dli that ripped. Lo yehi kosher ela onvo. The Tanakhama says, you're only allowed to make a bow. You're not allowed to make any type of knot. So you see the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan there, are the ones that are machmir. Sounds like there goes there making a bow to making a knot. You can't even make a bow. So they're the ones that are goes there. V'rabbi Yehuda omer no. I'm sorry, the opposite. The Rabbanan say, you can make an aniva. Meaning, you see, they're not gozer. For Rabbi Yehuda Omer, korech alav punda opsikya, ubavad shalo ya'anvenu. You're allowed to just wind around a type of, you know, either a girdle, something, without making any type of knot. And ubavad shalo ya'anvenu, you can't even make a bow. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is gozer, bows atu kshira. So it goes in the opposite direction. In our Mishnah, the Rabbanan are gozer by the knots, and Rabbi Yehuda is not gozer by the knots. And this other case, Rabbi Yehuda is gozer, and the Rabbanan are not gozer. So kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, kasha de Rabbanan, de Rabbanan. It's kasha on both. So the Rabbanan, ad Rabbanan lo kasha, no problem with the Rabbanan. Chevel bechevel michlaf. In our Mishnah, there's the gzera is about ropes and ropes. Different types of ropes, there's a gzera on. If you can use this rope or war, you might use the other rope. That's where their goes are here. Aniva bekshira lo michlafa. But we're not worried about getting confused between bows and knots. So that's why they don't make the gzera by aniva, but they do make the gzera by kshira. And Rebuda lo kasha. Rebuda also, there's no stira. Hasam. Lom, really, he's not gozer. Like an arbishta, he doesn't make a gzeris. Why over there does he not allow bows? Lo mishum de mechlefa aniva bekshira. It's not because he's worried about something in the future. He's not worried about, oh, you might come to make a kshira. Ella aniva gufa kshirahi. But he owes the aniva is kosher. So therefore, there's no difference between a knot and a bow, according to Yehuda, is a type of knot. After all, what defines a knot? Something that I twine the thread or the string in such a way that it stays closed. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the difference between an aniva and a kshira? So that's how you get out of the stira. Keep in mind the Shulta Gibor we mentioned yesterday, quoted in the Ramah, that bisman hazeh, we're machmir, even just by an aniva agabi kesher, what we call a regular tie, that if it's going to be there for more than 24 hours, we do not do that on Shabbos. That's why shoes are mutter, as long as I'm going to untie them right at that night. When I take off, we have to remember, sometimes on a mostly Shabbos, when we're changing out of our Shabbos shoes, we have to make sure not to slip them off. To make sure to untie them, even if many times we slip off our shoes, and just, let's say, untie them when I put them back on, right? But we have to make sure on mostly Shabbos to untie. Good. We didn't mention, what about ties? Speaking about tying, what about ties? Is that an issue when I make a tie? So if you make a tie, there's nothing to talk about. But sometimes people just loosen the tie. They pull it over their head, and then they save it for next Shabbos. They have a separate tie for Shabbos. So what if somebody makes the tie on Shabbos? If you make it before Shabbos and you just loosen, unloose, that's probably not a problem because you're just moving it back and forth. But what if somebody makes the tie on Shabbos? Then it could be, again, the question is whether the tie is a real kesher or aniva. Might not be. But if it is, then it's a good idea just to untie it within 24 hours if it was done on Shabbos. Good, fourth line. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Mevi Adam Chevel Bitoch Beso, V'Koshro Bepara U'Be'Evos. A person could bring a rope from his house and tie one end of it to the cow and one end of it to the Evos, to the food trough. Where he's going to eat from. You can just bring a rope and use it. We're not worried about anything. Esve Rav Acha Aricha. Dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa. L'Rav Rabbi Abba. Rav Papa had one son who was very tall. Chevel Shebe Evos Koshro Bepara. V'Shebe Para Koshro Be'Evos. U'Bilvad Shelo Yavi Chevel Mitoch Beso V'Yikshar Bepara Be'Evos. The Brisa says that you're only allowed to do it in one direction. One direction. If it's you're allowed to tie it on one side and not on the other side. If it's already on the Avos, you can tie it on the Para. Or the Para, you can't bring it from inside your house and tie both sides. Right? So, I stira answers the Gemara. Hasam chevel to alma, hacha chevel to gardi. Where do you say it's aser a chevel to alma? Because you're worried you might just remove one side and just leave the rope either on the Avos or on the Para. But here, it's a chevel to gardi, so we're not worried that you are going to leave it there. Period. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Continuing, kli kavoy mutter l'taltalan b'Shabbos. Once we're talking about weavers' ropes, so we branch out talking about the weavers' kli. Kli kavoy is a type of weavers' rods that are part of the loom. So mutter l'taltalan b'Shabbos. Shmuel says they're not muksa or some type of muksa. You're not to be mutter b'Shabbos. Boy, mine, me, Rav Yehuda, kovod ha'elyon v'kovod ha'tachton mahu. What about the upper and lower beams of the loom? In v'lav v'rafia b'yade. That he didn't have a clear answer for. Yes, no, it was weak in his hand. He didn't have a clear answer for that. Period. What muksa are we talking about here? What muksa are we talking about? So, it's machlokas. Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi here says, mahu, see Rashi right across from where we are. Mi amrinon, do we say, Aidi diyakiri lo chazu stamayu latash b'shachrina. Do we say because they are very expensive, you don't use them for anything else? What would you expect Rashi to say in the next words? We didn't have any. We had some issues of mooks in the fourth parak. We would have thought, and therefore it's chesron kiss, and therefore they don't want to move it. The Rashi doesn't say that. That's what the Ritva says. The Ritva says right here, and therefore you might have thought it's chisar mooks amachos chesron kiss, which is one of the most chomor type of mookses. right? So you might say that's what we would have expected the Rashi to say, but Rashi does not say that, and that's why Rabbi Akiva Eiger gets upset. One of the reasons. V'havi le davar shemalachta l'iser. Wow. Rashi calls it a klisha malachta l'iser. You might have thought you can't move it because it's klisha malachta l'iser. Klisha malachta l'iser? What do you mean? So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out the Gemara later on. It must be, Rashi says, this Gemara is going according to the opinion that you can't move a klisha malachta l'iser even l'tzara guf or l'tzarech makomo. There's a machlokas later on. We paskin l'kula. We paskin a malata, if a scissors or a pen was left on the Shabbos table and I want to set it, I want to finish, I want to move it, I want to put something down, and I can pick it up directly and move it away. A scissors, a stapler, any klisha malachta l'iser. I can move l'tzarech makomo or l'tzarech gufo. But there are some tanaim later on in the 17th parak in Kol HaKelim that argue with them. So Rabbi Eiger points out that it sounds like Rashi is going according to those opinions later on. Because klisha malachta l'iser, of course you can move it for whatever reason you need l'tzarech gufo. That's why the Ritva is also upset. The Ritva says, but we don't paskin that way. So the Ritva says, our Gemara is talking about a muksam achbas chesron kiss issue. Right, it's not the yotzin nira lefarish. The mutul tatal mutzar gufa zarech makomo ka'amar. Kechok li shemalach to l'iser. Vayvalei kemuksam achbas chesron kiss o kodavar she'a adam yachi lo makom v'chul. Okay, that is machlokas Rashi and the Ritva exactly how to understand this Gemara. So what about the upper and lower beams? Unclear. It's mar, amar of Nachman, amar Shmuel, kli kavoy mutul tatal b'shabbis, afilu kovar el v'kovar tachtom. So another statement of the of Shmuel, it's mutter, even the upper and lower beams, avolo es ha'amudim, but not the pillars that hold everything together. Those are either ches or kiss, depending who you go according to. Amalei Rav Lo Rav Nachman, maishna amudim delo. Why are amudim different? Why are the pillars different than the beams? Elema, including the Maisa Oreg, a little safer. Forgot to bring it, but a little safer that one of the somebody went through all the Oreg Gemaras. Right, we had a couple of them, a couple of beginning of Paragraph Rabbi Eliezer, and he goes through has pictures of the old fashioned looms. So I'm sure Brett, he has pictures there of the Kovids and the Amudim. So Elema, the Kovid Gumos. Are we worried that you can take the big pillars out because it's going to leave big holes in the ground? But you're not directly moving the dirt. You're just taking something out of the dirt and it's leaving a hole. That's not usur. It's not. We had earlier in this Masechta, it's also a Mishnah Masechas, Kilayim. Hatomein Lefes. Remember in those days before refrigerators, had you keep something cold, you kept it in the ground. So let's say I wanted to have a salad Shabbos morning, and I put some vegetables in the ground, and now I want to take them out Shabbos morning to use them. So I told me, lefes fitznonos tachas agefen, if I hid some turnips or radishes in the ground under a vine, so now, this is why it's in Meseches Kilayim, im miksas ala magul, and as long as some of its leaves are revealed, so it's partially out of the ground, ein achoshes, there's no worry, lo mishum kilayim. There's no issue of kilay hakerem there, because it's half out of the ground, v'lo mishum shvius. And there's no issue of Shemitah, v'lo mishum meiser, v'nitalin b'Shabbos. And you see, it's mutter to pick it up on Shabbos, meaning you're not worried about the hole that's going to be left there when you pick it up. So what's the problem with picking up these amudim? So the Gemara says, there's a difference. B'sada lost the shvi'a gumos. The issur isn't the holes. The issur is, after the hole is there, am I worried that you're going to be very upset and want to flatten the hole? So in your backyard, we're not worried about it. So that's why the turnips in the backyard, we're not worried. You're going to come to be mashvi'a gumos to flatten the earth. Hacha bebayis also the shvi'a gumos. But in the house, we're worried. And the loom is in the house. You have a dirt floor. You don't want anybody to trip on the floor. So that's why we're worried. That's why. Nothing to do with muksa then. The reason you can't take these amudim is because gzera asi la'ashvuye gumos. Period. Let's just finish and then I'll make a comment. Boy minei Reb Yochanan mei Reb Yehuda bar Livoy, kli kavoy, kago kovet el, kovet tachton, mal taltam b'shabbos. He asked the question again. Amar lei, ein metaltalin. You can't. My tam, lafisha ein italin. Because they're never moved, even during the week. They never moved during the week. And therefore Rashi says, kol malachton le'isser. Not just rov malachton le'isser, kol malachton le'isser, and therefore you cannot move them. Again, we'll have to come back to these shitas, Be'ez Hashem, in a couple of prakim. This issue about taking items and leaving holes, we discussed this a little bit in the past, based on the Trumas Hadeshen. I think we'll have two Trumas Hadeshens today. Trumas Hadeshen, we've discussed in the context of psik resha by an isser derabanan. We're machmir by a psik resha by an isser derabanan. Right? This is a discussion of this Trumas Hadeshen, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham discusses it. What was his case? His case was, in the days of old, right, you didn't have drawers in your kitchen, so where did you keep your knives? You don't want the kids to cut themselves, so where did they keep their knives? They stuck them into the wall. And when you want to use the knife, you take the knife out of the wall and you use it. Right? It's the safest place. Right? Rabbi Akiva's daughter, the last daf of Masechet Shabbos, what'd she do at night with her brooch from her wedding, with the needle? She stuck it in the wall. She killed the snake, stuck at Tasmi Mavis. Well, we'll get to that in a couple of months. But says the Chumash Hadeshah, are you allowed to take out that knife from the wall on Shabbos? Right? You're going to leave a hole there. Right? Is that bone? This Gemara is about taking it out of the dirt. So the issue is Choresh, or Chshash of Choresh. So you're allowed to take it out. So the Chumash Hadeshah discusses, every time I take a knife out of the wall, it's making the hole a drop bigger. Unless it's pretty loose, or I made it bigger before Shabbos. But Pashtus, I think that's a problem. It's a problem with a bone. We learned on Daf Kuf Beis. If I make a tiny little hole on Shabbos, that's a Malach D'Oraisa bone. Right? I make a little hole. People keep things in holes, so you have to be very worried. But says the Chumash Hadeshah, what about if it's in a barrel? It's not in the wall. So ain't binyan bekalim, ain't stira bekalim. So it's only a durabanan. So then, that's what he gets into. What about a psikresha b'issa durabanan? I only want to take the knife out of the wall, or out of the barrel. I have no kavana. So that's the discussion of the Chumash Hadeshah in Simin Samach Dalid. That's the beginning of the discussion of psikresha b'issa durabanan, talking about a similar case to what we have here, about taking things out of the ground and leaving holes. There is no malacha per se about leaving a hole in the ground. Making a hole in the ground is a malacha. Filling up a hole in the ground is a malacha. But just leaving a hole in the ground is not a malacha. Says the Mishnah, Mikaplin, talking about folding begadim. Why are we talking about this here? What does it have to do with kshira? The Tosfos Yantav says, well, we're talking about clothing issues. So once we're talking about clothing issues, we talk about other issues. Mekaplin is akelim. One is allowed to fold clothing. Afilo arba v'chamisha pa'amim. Even 4 or 5 times on Shabbos. What's the issue? The issue is, in the days of old, maybe the begadim were somewhat different. We'll see. La maisa, we try to be machmer l'chadchila, but they're somewhat different. In that, if you didn't fold the beged, it really got ruined and wrinkled and almost unusable to wear. So that's why they used to make sure to fold them on the creases after they took off their begadim. The newer the beged, the less it was needed because it was kind of like folded itself. It was an older beged, then for sure, if you don't fold it, it's really going to be ruined. So the issue is it called a tikkun when I fold the beged? Is it called a tikkun? So that's the question. So the Mishnah says it's mutter. You're allowed to fold the begadim even 4 or 5 times on Shabbos. Umatzin es hamitos from the Shabbos to Shabbos. You're also allowed to make the beds from Friday night to Shabbos day. Ava lo mishabbos to motzi Shabbos. But you can't do something from Shabbos to motzi Shabbos. That is the issue of hachana. Issue of hachana. Unless, if the bed, the reason that you're making it is not mishum hachana, but because, and this is a very important issue, but it's because it's a mess right now and I want to use the room and I want it to look neat right now, that's not hachana. One always has to ask, in a hachana question, am I doing this for later or am I doing this for now? Right? Somebody finishes, you know, the meal and they're going to clear or they want to clean the kitchen a little bit. So if I'm cleaning the kitchen because I have a lot to do on Motzi Shabbos and I want to make sure that it's already done, that's an issur of hachana. But if I'm doing it because I want the kitchen to be neat for there's a lack of owning Shabbos when I walk in the kitchen and it's a big mess. Right? So then I could clean it because right now I'm doing it for right now I'm cleaning. So again, hachana is a very subjective issue. If I'm sleeping on Shabbos afternoon because Shana B'Shabbos Tainug, so then it's beautiful. If I'm sleeping because I need to be up late on Motzi Shabbos, then it's not beautiful. And even if I'm doing that, I shouldn't say it. And I'm going to sleep now because, right? I should at least try to have some kavana. Doesn't mean that you're not allowed to go to sleep, even if that's your kavana. But I should at least try to have some kavana that it's also onik Shabbos to take a nap or to do something like that. So again, whatever. What about if you go somewhere to another shul on Shabbos morning because you have a simcha and you have your talus there? When you take your talus back, are you preparing for afterwards? No, most of the time we take our talus back because we're going to put it in the proper place. We don't want it to get lost right now. Not because I don't want to come back on Motzi Shabbos for my talus. If my issue is I'm going to put it under the stroller because I want to put it back in this place right now, again, that's not hachana. Hachana is where specifically I'm doing something for after Shabbos. Again, many examples are discussed. So, but if it's a real hachana issue, then you're not allowed to do it. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mekaplen es hakelim, umatzin es hamitos v'yom kippurim l'Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says, there's no issue of hachana from Yom Kippur, that's on a Friday, which it cannot fall, bizman hazeh, but Yom Kippur to Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is on a lower level, so to speak, than Shabbos. The chelvei Shabbos kriven v'yom kippurim. And also, the fats left over of a Shabbos karban could be karav on Yom Kippur if Yom Kippur is on a Sunday. Okay, because Yom Kippur is on a lower level. But not the opposite. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Lo shel Shabbos kriven b'yom kippurim, lo shel yom kippurim kriven b'shabbos. They're each days of Shabbos Shabboson, and you cannot prepare, or you can't do leftovers of one on the other. Either way. Period. What about a talus? So we're going to get to that. Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, says Rabbi Yanai, going back to the issue of folding. When do we say it's usher by a talus? Only if one person. One is a mutter. Only by one person. But not by two people. If two people do it, then it's more nira kimisakein, Rashi says. I saw one of the chronim say, trivia question. Name something on Shabbos that if you do by yourself, it's mutter, but if you do it with two people, it's usher. It's usually just the opposite. If you do something with two people, it's more mutter. So this is it, right here. Folding something. Uba adam nami lo amran. And also, he gives another example. He says a mila on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch suggests that the mila and the priya should be done by one person, because that's the ikar mitzvah. So if you have one person do the mila and the priya, it's mutter. But if you had one person do the mila, one person do the priya, then it's questionable. So if you have to, again, two people do the mila. Okay, trivia question. And it's only usher by something new. But by old clothing, it is usher. And also, it's only mutter by white clothing, where the folding doesn't help as much. But by colored clothing, it's usher. It's only if you have no other begotten to wear. But if you have other begotten to wear, then lo, it should not be done, again, because of tikkun. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Beis. The Shulchan Aruch quotes all of these halachas in Shin Beis, Sif Gimel. He quotes the Mishnah. Mekaplam kelim b'shabbos l'tzorach shabbos l'lavshem bo b'yom v'davka b'adam u'b'chadashim shadayin lo niskapsu u'levanim v'ein lo l'hachlif. And if you're missing any of these tznayim, usur. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. So, what, we're not allowed to fold anything on Shabbos? What about, you just asked, what about folding a talus after davening? What about folding a talus? So, there are a couple of points. Number one, the next day in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that if you fold it but not on the original creases, that's mutter. The whole Mishnah is talking about a case where you're getting it back exactly to where it was, and that's called a tikkun. V'yesh bishal mer shalakaplo shalok keseder kipulu harishon mutter b'chalinyin v'nirin dvarav. So not folding it on the exact creases as it was before, that is mutter. So that's a day in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what many rely on. That's what they when they put take off their Shabbos talis, they fold it on not the exact creases. The only issue is here, if you want to rely on this, that you have to refold it after Shabbos. If this is always how you fold it, so then these become the new way to fold it. And then it could still be an issue. It's only not on its normal folds. That means on after Shabbos, you put it back on its normal folds. So that is one point. The next point is that maybe some achronim might say that the whole issue doesn't apply bizman hazeh. When we fold things today, that Tzitz Eliezer discusses this, or Moshe discusses it, when we fold things today, is that really fixing? That's not really fixing. You might say maybe by a clean, crisp talus, keeping it on its perfect folds. That's really something tikkun. But by a talus that is what people have had for years, you're really fixing something? So yesh makom lahakel bichlal for people to fold it. Also, some mention, it's a bizayin hamitzvah. You're just gonna fold it, to roll your talus up in a bowl. You wanna keep it as a proper. It's a chetzer shel mitzvah. So if somebody says, I want to fold my talus and I think it's a kavod and I don't think it's fixing anything, yesh makom lismoch al zeh. But the Mishnah Berurah does say, and they're based on the Shulchan Aruch, that at least some poskim say, What one can do, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes, right after Shabbos, fold it the right way. Right? Start Shabbos after Motzei Shabbos with a mitzvah. Like, not take it off and roll it in a ball after you take it off Shabbos morning. Just take it off and fold it not on its creases. Just fold it a little bit. Just not roll it up, but just put it down. And then fold it after Shabbos. Right? That's the, but again, it all comes down to this Mishnah. And the issue is the Metzias different today? If the Metzias is different, then the whole thing doesn't apply. But the post can talk about it in the realm of the Metzias being relevant, and therefore the post can say, l'chadchila, maybe one should not do it. Okay, that is in terms of folding. We continue. Tana, They wouldn't fold even their white clothing because they had what to change into. Amar Rav Huna. Once we're talking about what to change into, let's talk about Kavod Shabbos. Amar Rav Huna. Im yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. V'im ein lo lahachlif. If you don't have any other clothing to change into, yishal shel bebegadav. Meaning, we always have to have special begadav on Shabbos. If I don't, if I have to wear my same robe that I wear the whole week, at least lower the belt. Yishash b'begadav, meaning like you may imagine in the days that everyone wore robes and togas, the aristocrats used to walk around, you know, holding themselves higher with their belt a little lower. So at least on Shabbos we should do that. We have to do something to make Shabbos different. Maskev l'Rav Safra, v'mischazi k'ramas rucha. Don't you look arrogant though if you do that? If you hold yourself that way? No. Kivan to call yom aloka avit. Since we never do that the whole week. The ha'idna hutaka avit only on Shabbos lo mischazi karamas rucha. So it doesn't look like arrogance because it's only done now. Good. The kibal domi asos durachecha. Here it is, the pasuk in Yishayahu nun ches. How do you remember? Nun ches, menucha Shabbos. That's where the makor of covenant onig is, right there in Yishayahu. The kibal domi asos durachecha. You shall respect and honor Shabbos from doing your drachim, what you usually do. We had a daf be'in shir this week about it. Feel free to enjoy Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, we spoke about the lumdis and some lamaisa of Kavod Shabbos. We'll talk about some other points now. Your Shabbos dress should not be like your weekday dress. Like Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothing those that gave him honor. It was mechabed him. And therefore we have to make sure our Shabbos dress is different than our weekday dress. And it's not mishum others. Right? The Mishnah Berurah mentions that even if somebody's alone for Shabbos, nobody's going to see them at all. Shabbos clothes. Doesn't matter if somebody's taking a long walk because they want the exercise. Shabbos clothes. Unless we go in to take a nap. And I keep taking naps. I haven't got a nap in years. But if somebody goes into the bed and takes a nap, then you can take off your, there's no chiyuv to wrinkle one's Shabbos clothes. But if somebody's around on Shabbos, what everyone is doing, Shabbos clothes, that is covered Shabbos. In the Maaser Rav, they say the Vilna Gaon changed every single article of clothing head to toe. Meirosh v'ad raglav. Every single thing was different. We should have different. Even if somebody wears a suit the whole week, different suit, different sitzes, different tallis, different everything, different shoes, right? Whatever we could have, we should have different on Shabbos. The Ben Yehoyada here is medayek that shaloye mabushcha shalshah. Why doesn't it just say you should have, right, Shabbos clothes that are different? What's his diak? I'll read it to you. The kibalto, he says the kasha have another name of a kibalto shetachlif bagadecha b'Shabbos. Why don't I just say switch your clothing on Shabbos? He said it's different than that. He says shelo yehem al bushcha shel Shabbos al bushcha shel chol. It should look different to the outsider. It should look different. Right, so mamish, this week I violated this. I was doing one of the carpools of my kids, and one of my kids' friends looked at me and says, "Why do you always dress like a Shabbos?" Right, what am I supposed to do? I say, "Oh, I don't cover the Torah." Mama, she asked me, I read this Ben Yoyada. I'm like, "Oy vey, what am I supposed to do?" But yeah, Mama, she said to me this week, "Why do you just like a Shabbos?" Okay, what can I do? It should be my worst of error. Anyway, then he continues that that's the point of looking different. That's how he understands the Gemara. That's how he understands the Gemara. Okay, good. We still have another Ben Yoyada in the waning in the wings. Continue. Mimso chefzecha, chafatzecha asurin chefzei shemayim mutarin. You should do your chafatzim, your business chafatzim are aser, chafzei shemayim are mutter. Right? Any arrangements for mitzvos, that is mutter. V'davar, shelo yeh diburach shel Shabbos k'diburach shel chol. Your Shabbos talk should be different than your weekday talk. What does that mean? Rashi on top, mekach u'memkar v'cheshbonos. This line means you shouldn't talk business on Shabbos. Tosfos says, no. It's even more than that. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that says, you shouldn't talk at all on Shabbos. Bekoshi hitir she'ilo shalom b'Shabbos. Only Torah and Tefillah. Yerushalmi has a line that generally Shabbos is not for talking about even neutral activities. Even neutral activities. The Me'iri says, right here, the Me'iri says, shelo yotzi dvarav levatala ubeiske havai v'kol shekein b'mekach u'memkar b'cheshbonos ela b'dvar Torah v'im eino kedai l'divrei Torah. And if you can't speak about Torah 24/7 or at least 24/1, yis'asek b'niflos Hashem ubemitzvosav. Just talk about constructive things. Talk about positive things. That's the Rashi and the Tosas and the Meiri. And then we get to the Trumas Hadeshen. The other Trumas Hadeshen. And it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Trumas Hadeshen 500 years ago says, what about those people who gather after shul and like to talk politics? Is there anything wrong with that? Imamish says that in Yonah Diyoma. He says, "Masha noagim rov bnei adam afa medaktikim b'maseyem lehisasif b'yom haShabbos la'achar yitzias beis haKnesses, not during shul la'achar yitzias beis haKnesses uletzaper shmuos minyanim malachim b'sarim ve'erech hamolchamos v'chehay gavna yesh chash iser b'davar olo." Is there anything wrong with that? Right, they did davening. They're going to do the parsha. They're just schmoozing after davening. No lashon hara. They're just talking about milachim u'molchamo sehem. Mamish politics. Is there any issue? Said the Shumas Hadeshen, I'm not sure. The Yerushalmi says b'koshi hitiru she'el shalom b'shabbos. I'm not sure. But then he says, you know what? People enjoy it. People enjoy it. So the Shumas Hadeshen says, "Amnamim osam bnei adam misangim bekach kishemidabrim uesaprim shmuos meyamalachem esarim v'kiyagavna nireh devadai shari." It's mutter. People enjoy it. So neutral talk that people enjoy is mutter. But then he adds an amazing line. But he says, "I know a lot of people who go there to be in the hak and to be in the group, not because they enjoy it, but because they're peer pressure. They have to go. What? Everybody's there, so I have to go. I can't. I'm not going to be there." He says, "For them, it's usher." Said, if you're not doing it, it'll call Onik Shabbos, I don't enjoy it, then you can't be there. He says, only if you enjoy it. So, I've been asked by Talmidim, you're allowed to talk sports on Shabbos. I'm not talking about sports on Shabbos. It's at the Shabbos table, I would not do it. What, somebody's taking a walk? Are we on the Halavai? We should talk about Torah the whole Shabbos. Halavai. But what else are we going to talk about? So, Torah, good chance there's going to be Lashon Hara. If we're not talking about Torah, we might be talking about other people. So, a regular average teenager, a lot of times, what else are they talking about? What interests them? So is it worse than politics that the Trumas Hadeshen matters, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that it's mutter? So again, halavai, we should all be like the Meiri says, involved in Torah, niflos abore. But the neutral, you know, b'koshi itir she'el shalom, you know, halavai, we have to know ourselves and realize what we are up to. Okay, again, a lot more, but we continue for now. Dibur asur, hirur mutter. Dibur is asur, but hirur is mutter, right? Dibur Rosh Hashanah, the thinking about things, is mutter. We don't say hirur kedibur dami in this context. Bishlam akul lachayi. Fine, I understand what each one is. Elashol yehiluchach shal Shabbos kiluchach shachol maihi. But what does it mean that you're walking? Your hiluch should be different on Shabbos. So, try number one. Ki hada amar Rav Huna amar Rav. Vi amri lo amar Rav Abba amar Rav Huna. Hay mahalik b'Shabbos upaga b'amas amayim. You're taking a walk on Shabbos and you come to a body of water. Im yachol laniach es ragla rishona. Kodem shetiakar shnia. If you're able to put one foot on the other side while keeping the first foot still on the ground, mutter, then you're even allowed to jump over it. Because that's not called such a jump. It's a small area, that's not called a jump. V'yam lav aser, and if not aser, meaning that's what's being referred to. You shouldn't be jumping long distances on Shabbos. That's your hiluch. Ask the Gemara, maskev varava, heich levin. But what else are you supposed to do? Lekuf. What, you're supposed to go all the way around this body of water? Kamavish b'yilucha, that's more tircha. You're having more hiluch. Lever, go straight through it. Zimnim de misvasvasvan. Maybe your clothing are going to get soaked. Mane maya. Vazi de schita. You're going to come to schita. This is what Tosas mentioned 3 days ago. When Tosas said, why isn't just getting it wet a problem of shriyaso zeo kibuso? So Tosas mentioned at the end of the previous parak. But so Rava says, what else are you supposed to do? Ela baha, you can't say this is a case of hiluch. Why? Kima de loefsha shaper dami. Here you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. There's no other option. So that can't be what the Gemara is talking about. Ela kedibamine Rebbe Mir Bishob Rebbe Yossi. This is what it's meant. Mal of soapsi a gasa b'Shabbos. Just taking large steps on Shabbos. That's what's being referred to. Amar le v'chi b'chol mi hutra. You can't even do that during the week. What do you mean? Shani omer psi a gasa noteles echad mechamesh meos mi ma'or enav shal adam. Taking a psi a gasa removes 1/500th of the light of the ability to see of a person. And it comes back on Friday night Kiddush. Comes back. So even during the week, you can't do that. Says Rabbi Shmuel Bereb Yossi. Therefore, it should not be done. Okay, but there's no other suggestion given, as we will get to the Maskana. But that is the point. Let's just finish and then I'll make a comment. Ba'amine, Rabbi Meir Yishol Rabbi Yossi. Actually, no, before we do ba'amine, what does it mean that a person should not take psias gasos, and That's what I want to say. The Ritva. The Ritva says there's 1/500th of what's left. It's not like if you take 500 psi agassas, you're going to lose the lose one's vision. It's 500. It's 1/500th of one's left after one takes a psi agassa. And to get psi agassa here doesn't mean you're allowed to run during the week if there's a reason. It means it in an arrogant way. A psi agassa. Somebody has their nose in the air. And how does it come back with kiddush to Beis Shimshi? What does that mean? It comes back by kiddush to Beis Shimshi. So the Ritva has four different opinions. What does it mean, kiddush to Beis Shimshi? Yesh befarish, that you put some of the wine on your eye. We're familiar with that by Havdalah, but here it is by kiddush, right? Shenosim imenu al gabi ha'ayin. Well, first he says, maybe you put it above the eye, because in the eye, that's refuah. You can't do that. We had that a couple of days ago. V'acherim omrim, no. It's refuah skula. It's not refuah tivis. So that's why there's no problem of shechika samamanim in that case. So you can put it actually on the eye. Number two. V'acherim omrim, it means not just drinking the wine. It means the school of drinking the wine is going to bring you back ma'ari na'im. Utukuliyama de psiagasa de shabbos asur of lestei takanta. Okay, so he talks, but that is the that's the writ for all different opinions. The Meiri says no, it's shabbos itself. Even with just making the kiddush, even with the kiddush returns it. Good. Ben Yoyada. I'm sorry, we have to get this in and then we'll continue. Says the Ben Yoyada right here. What does kiddush have to do with the bringing the enayim back? Says the Ben Yehoyada, each paragraph that we say Friday night of Kiddush, the first paragraph of Yom HaShishi and the second paragraph of the Bracha has 35 words. 35 words. So I said, really? So I go to the closest sitter in my Makam HaLimud. I grab my closest sitter, the Beis Yaakov sitter, Yaakov Evden. That's what's on the shelf. I open it up. Boom, Hashgacha. He has Kiddush and he has above every word in the Siddur. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. 35. How many Siddurim have that in the world? Right? 35. That's the Amid Hei. So it's good I picked up that Siddur because otherwise I would have said it didn't work because he took out a couple of words. Right? Because Vayechulu works. Vayechulu works. But he has a different Gersa in the Bracha to work out. But Al Pi Kabbalah, this must be, he has a lot of Kabbalistic Minhagim. First of all, he takes out Kihu Yom, which the followers of the Gra take out. But he has Yikon HaMaseh Bereishis, Chilim HaKorei Kodesh, Zeich Lezeh Bishrayim, and then he takes out the whole Kivon of Acharta also. He goes to V'Shabbos Kachcha B'Avaratzen HaChaltanu. But if you take out those phrases where some take out, there's 35. So Al Pi Kabbalah, there's 35 and 35, which is 70. The wine itself, Yayin, is 70. Yud Yud Nun. So the two Einayim, Kiddush, putting together that the ayin is 70, so the two einayim, which is machzir the maor einav shel adam, that is what he says right here. Again, ki yalaylo yeshivim tevo shel vayachulu v'shel berchaz hakiddush shem lamen hevel lamen hey mispar ayin v'omrim ze al ayin shu mispar ayin laor shnei neros. Then he says, if you add up neros, it's 250 each, which is 500. That's the maor 1/500th of the, it gives you back, and that's why he also connects the Ramah that says you look at the candles when you make Kiddush, right? Right. You give candle based on this Gemara. Anyway, that's unbelievable. Anyway, let's continue. Says the Gemara, are you allowed to eat dirt on Shabbos for refuah purposes? Am I allowed to eat dirt during the week? It damages you. Can't even do it during the week. If somebody eats from the dirt of Bavel, it's like he's eating his father's flesh. Why? Because by the Mabel, all the bodies went there. The dirt of Bavel has insects that fell apart. Why is Bavel called Shinar? All the dead of Bavel were brought down there. Why is it called Mitzula? They all sank there. They all fell apart there. So even during the week, how could you eat dirt? Amri, the Gemara says no. Kibun de Malki Gazer Be'Rabanan. It's not like really we think that there are people or Shkatzim and Ramasim. But because it's dangerous, Chazal said this is the truth, so that people would stay away from it. Kibun de Malki, Rabanan made a Xera and said this, even though to keep people away from it, to scare people. Tiahu, because if they just said it's Asur, it wouldn't be enough. If they say this, now that's scary. Tiahu Gavra to Achu Gargishta, because after all, there was a person that ate some dirt, the Acha Tachli, then ate some cress, the Katri Le Tachli Belibe, and it took root in his heart. Vamis, he ate some dirt, he ate some, something to grow, and it took root in his heart. That's why it's dangerous. The Chazal made up this story so that people would stay away from it. I know it's not Lamaisa, but if you would have some vegetables that grew inside a person, what bracha would you make? Okay, he asked the question. For achatz vasach v'samsim losayach. So once we're talking about clothing, we talk about rus. So Naomi gives rus instructions: wash and anoint yourself and go put on clothes. Obviously, she should put on clothes, but she should go without clothes. Amar Rebbe Elazar elu begadim shel Shabbos. So remez to big day Shabbos. Tein lachacham yachkam od. So sometimes somebody is given advice, but they go one step further. Amar Rebbe Elazar zu rus hamoavia v'shmolu haramasi. Rus, what did Rus do? Dilunami ka'amar lover achaz v'sak v'sam simlo sayach alayich. You should go get dressed v'yarat v'gagoren and go down to the granary. V'ilu b'didaksiv, but she did the opposite. First she went v'tirda goren v'hadar v'tazka chalashet sivsachamosa. She didn't get dressed fancy in a fancy way until she got down there. Why? Rashi says, if she would have been wearing this fancy clothing at night going around in the dark, she would have gone near a kazona. So that's why, no, she was a chachaba, and therefore she didn't get dressed till she got there. Shmuel, the ilu eli, ka'amale eli, tell Shmuel. When Shmuel says, who's calling me? Shcha, v'hayim, yikrei lecha v'yamarta, daber Hashem, kishomei avdecha. It's not me, it's God. So say, daber Hashem. V'ilu b'di deiksiv, bey, v'yavo Hashem, v'yisiyaseh, v'yikra, kafam, b'fam, b'shmuel, Shmuel, one of the four people in Tanakh that are called double by Hashem, v'yomer Shmuel, daber, kishomei avdecha. V'lo amar daber Hashem. He didn't say Shem Hashem, just to be safe. So you see, he was a chacham as well. She went back and forth until she found proper people to be with in the area to gather the grain with. Boaz asked, who is that girl? Did Boaz ask about all the girls? Who is that girl? Amar Belazar, Dvar Chachma Rabba. No, he saw a Dvar Chachma. Shnei Shibalam Lakta, Shlosha Shibalam Eina Lakta. She knew the halachas of Leket. She only took two things that fell down, two of the stalks, not three. Three is Shalbalabaya. So she knew the halacha, and that's why he was wondering. But Masnisa Tana, one more line. Masnisa Tana, Dvar Tznias Rabba. He saw Dvar Tznias in her. Omdos Me'umad, no flows Me'usha. When she sat down, when she went down to pick up the grain that fell down, she didn't bend down. She went down in a straight with her body. And she went down straight instead of bending over, which would be a less sanua position. So he saw that this is a different type of girl. The chosid bakanim narosai, v'chidaka shaboaz l'davik emanashim. What does Boaz, right, go be misdabek? Right, Boaz always has talks in the Marsha says. Boaz always talks with lashon of dibuk, which is a husband-wife type of lashon. Amar Belazar, kima dechaz of atisha karpa lachamos of rustav kaba, amar shari l'idbuke ba. Right, he says, oh, because Arpa left and Rus is committed to be a Jew, so I see she can be part of Klal Yisrael. Right, Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here by Vayomer, but Hashem will finish this up tomorrow and get into more issues of Hilcha Shabbos and other general issues that are on the agenda. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shia was last night. Hopefully it's up, and we'll continue.